Welcome to The Big Payoff. This is Rachel Bellow.
And I'm Suzanne Muschen. This is a new conversation about business.
We tackle all the personal stuff that really matters to you at work.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Rachel, today we're exploring the question, what does it mean to be a powerful woman today? Today.
Right. There really are three parts of that question. There's powerful. What does that mean? There's woman, which is, we're talking specifically about women and power. And they need to understand it. You need to understand it as a woman. And in fact, as a man, you need to understand it in relation to women because we're saying that women are the ones most naturally able to seize this new way of being powerful that we're going to tell you about.
And if you think that you're listening to a new version of The Big Payoff, feminist style, we're going to tell you the truth about something that happened to us recently, which is that we moved to a new platform for this show called...
Is that a way of saying we got a gender change?
I guess so. We got a gender change. We've moved to a new platform to distribute our show called Acast. And for the first time, I think we said out loud that this really is a show. It's not a show about women, by women, for women, but we are definitely giving you a woman's perspective on life, on work, because we're women.
We are. But what's interesting about it, Suzanne, is that my whole life, if someone said, you know, would you join this women's panel? How is this a woman's show? I would have immediately said,
oh,
no.
Well, we were doing that with this show forever. People would say, well, isn't this a show that more women are listening to? We go, oh, no.
No, because that sounds powerless.
Yes. So we are recently reclaiming our power as women on a podcast that talks often and regularly about business topics. But importantly, we came across another powerful woman, Bridget Gaynor. And Bridget, who is an incredibly interesting woman, I wouldn't even call my headline about Bridget isn't even so much about her power, but she's just so interesting, her background, what she's doing. So she's the commissioner of the 10th district for the county's 10th district in Chicago, and she's been serving in that position since 2009. She works at Aon, and she and Kirsten Gillibrand are doing this movement called Off the Sidelines.
Kirsten Gillibrand, who is
a New York senator,
yep,
right? But they're doing this movement together. It was really Kirsten. She had a book. She wrote it called Off the Sidelines. And it's really a call to action for women and for girls to just get more engaged in civic life and the professional world and to have more of a say and more of a role. So we heard about this and we said to Bridget, we should do a series. A whole series.
On women and power. And this is not about leaning in. This is not about getting something you don't have. This is really about claiming something. We all feel the same way. Bridget, Suzanne, and I, and a lot of you out there have this hunch that we are on the crest of a new conversation involving women and power. And we want to dig into it.
So this is the first in that series. It's going to be a four-part series. And while we have so much to talk about, we figured we'd talk with Bridget. Let's get her on the show. And she can be our guest. She will be our guest. And let's ask her about how women claim their power. And here's what I love and what you're going to hear. Bridget has some unbelievable insights, and she's been mentored a lot, and people have given her great advice as well, about the kinds of things you can do and should do when you're in a meeting, when you're at a lunch, that either give you power or take away your power.
What are the ways every day in which you are abandoning your power? You're giving it away.
Yeah.
When she listed it for us, I was like, check. Check. I do that.
So let's really get into this with you, which is let's talk about why today? Why are the conditions today creating the perfect storm for women? And also, what are you doing every single day that either, look, every move you make in your home, in the office, you're telling people something, which is, I feel powerful, or I'm giving up my power.
And let's be clear, you need power to get things done in the world. It's not about protecting yourself. It's not power for any purpose of aggression. It's power to influence, power to get done in the world what you want to get done.
Well, that's our definition. I'm really, really interested in hearing what Bridget has to say about what does power really mean? What does it mean to her?
Right.
Are we defining it in a way that's different? I mean, we're living in a world of entrepreneurship all around us, especially in places like Chicago, where it's kind of the new hot thing, where power is being defined by 10x returns and growth and size.
And liquidity events and...
Yeah. And there's a completely different way to look at power, and we want to explore that today. And I also want to get to some of the real questions I have about the things that I do all day long. I want to ask Bridget. So, for example, I'm dying to ask Bridget, under what circumstances do I pay the check?
Oh, right, especially
at a meal.
Especially with a man, and how many times
men and women,
both,
actually.
I think also especially with a man. Like, at what point do you do that? Don't you want to ask her whether that's a powerful lipstick shade you're wearing?
I do. I definitely do. Yeah. So this is what we have to say. And one of the things that I love about Bridget is she's one of these women that sort of I think we relate to, which is she could just as easily be, you know, quote, one of the guys. I mean, Bridget is just she's a woman with the kind of edge to her that doesn't in any way to me read feminine, which I think nobody would call us feminine, especially when we walked in our biker jackets today. Rachel and I dressed exactly like today to the point where it was uncomfortable
for others.
For me.
Oh.
I'm wearing a black dress and my biker jacket. And I picked Rachel up this morning and she is in a black outfit and her biker jacket. So awkward. So let's talk about what you do and how you are in the world and how you behave and whether or not that is something that helps you claim your power. We'll be back talking to Bridget Gaynor, exploring the first in our Off the Sidelines series on women in power when we return from this short break. Welcome back to The Big Payoff. We are here today with Bridget Gaynor, one of my new friends. We're friends now, right?
We're friends, and it's kind of exciting.
And as the transitive property, am I a friend, too? I'm Suzanne's friend.
You're like
friend.
An in-law.
Yes, like you're like our sister-in-law.
Oh, man.
So Bridget and I met through friends, mm-hmm. and I'd known of you because you are becoming increasingly more public in the city of Chicago.
And powerful.
And you told me about Off the Sidelines. So let's hear it in your own words, because I don't know that I did it justice.
Well, thanks. And thanks so much for being here. This is really fun. So Off the Sidelines, like a lot of things, came through a natural evolution. So over the last couple of years, and you guys are probably in a similar situation, I've had all these conversations with women, some my age who are, you know, working, raising kids, others who are in their 20s. Saying, you know, there's so much I'd want to do. I want to get involved. I don't know what to do. And it became this conversation where I wanted to say, stop having that be just one more thing on your list that you're failing at. So again,
wow.
I'm doing that. This is once again another thing that I'm doing half-ass, like mm-hmm. my kind of social, what makes me interesting? What makes me, you know, what am I really connecting to? And so I started to think, well, what's that thing that's getting in the way? And part of it is, your time is your most valuable asset, and you hoard it. You kind of think, well, I have work that
yes.
demands my time, and then I have family or other personal obligations that fill all that space that's in between the time I'm not actually working. So, you know, do I deserve to do these other things? How do I differentiate? How do I kind of stop, you know, how do I kind of make an option value? How do I actually commit to something versus just having the idea that I could do a lot of things at one time? So I thought, you know, we need to break down that barrier, which is what's actually worth spending my time on, and then how do I not waste any time in getting there? And so we started, you know, I had gotten to know Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, U.S. Senator, amazing woman. She's been in the Senate now for about 5 years.
And who swears like a motherfucker, by the way.
Or who swears like we do.
Yeah, so exactly. There is that. And actually, we want to talk about that in relation to power, because I don't think it's an accident.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. But anyway, I've heard that she just did an interview on Lenny Letter and said her favorite swear term was
fuck me.
Oh, yeah. Fuck me.
Mm-hmm. Right. There was two of them. What do you say like when you're
fuck off?
Yeah. Right. Fuck off.
Fuck me.
So. So we, you know, she and I had gotten to know each other. She launched Off the Sidelines. And what I liked about it, the simplicity, keep it simple, get off the sidelines, pick something. Don't let somebody else be the one who runs for office, starts the business and do whatever else. And we thought that there was a space around social engagement, social activity. And it's not just it's feeding yourself, but it's also continuing to put yourself out there in the world that's interesting and different than just I am a worker, I am a mother.
So are these events, are they, what is the structure of Off the Sidelines?
So the structure, you know, also evolved. We had a kickoff event. Kirsten came to town. We invited, you know, our women's list of 500 people, and 300 showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning and, you know, on a Friday. And it was none of the usual suspects, which I thought was fascinating. I loved that part of it. And since then, we have a really simple structure. We pick one issue. We've, you know, this month's issue is LGBT youth and homelessness and the whole issue of how to integrate a trans population. Last month, it was campus sexual assault. And we put out a, you know, we send one email a month. Here's the issue. Here's what people are saying about it. Here are interesting people to follow that you might not have found on your own. Here's some tweets. You want to push click and that's all you know, that's about as much investment as you want, but you want to engage a little bit. But then the interesting part comes to here are three organizations in Chicago that are really doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And right now, click on this link, call this number. This is the person to engage with. So you actually start to make that real. And then at the end, we have a lunch and we get together, and last month there were 20 women, and most of whom did not know each other, and we had this entirely rich conversation about campus sexual assault.
Boy, talk about redefining ladies who lunch.
Yeah, very much right. So there was the Title IX coordinator from DePaul, and there was women who were there as their perspective of mothers. There was someone there who was, you know, running the screening of a movie that they had been the producer of called The Hunting Ground.
Oh, I saw that. That was pretty powerful. That was pretty. Yeah. In fact, that actually really upset me. But I want to go back to something you said earlier, because I think there's a window there into the why women are on the sidelines. You said that you were saying to women, stop, you know, adding this to the list of stuff that you're not doing and complaining about. And I thought, you know, I think actually there's a sort of tribal ritual that women have among themselves of that's a way of bonding.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not, and it's not, and it, I wish I could. That needs to be taken away from our entire habit of bonding with each other. We should be bonding over the things that we are doing. And I think we're afraid of doing that because it raises resentments and jealousy. And
oh, I when I hear that, I use that, I'm just going to admit, I will use that tick of bonding around the things that I'm not getting done. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want women to look at me and say, oh, she's trying to show off about all the things she's doing, and isn't that threatening?
Mm-hmm.
So that, this is, let's just like put a box on this and go, you talk about an obstacle to power. It is the fear of other women's perception of you if you seize it.
Well, exactly. I mean, the whole thing of downplaying. Oh no,
yes.
I'll take the broken cookie. I'll be the. I don't want to. Don't worry about me. It's right. It's bananas. I mean, it's kind of how you get into this trap also with parenting, and you know, men can talk about their parenting, and everyone's like, "That is amazing. You actually went to the school.
It's so great. You went to the kids' conference." Don't you love it when men say, "Oh, I can't. I got to babysit tonight." Oh, really? You're taking on other people's kids? Like, what woman would say I'm babysitting?
So Off the Sidelines really came from my desire to say, when people say, oh, I'd love to do that, but I just don't. I can't. I don't know. I don't have the time. I can't. I don't know how to do it. Where do I even begin? And now we say here. And so the interesting thing is June 5th, we launched this year. It's 6 months old in, you know, a couple of weeks. And we went from 500 people on the mailing list to 2,700. And that's who sought us out, signed up, got engaged. And we send out this one email. And the fascinating thing, you can track now, for people who aren't aware of this, of what you can track on people's email, but you send this out and 66% of the people open it. Half of three quarters of those clicked on multiple things in the newsletter. And the feedback that we have gotten has been, A, we hear back from organizations, Women Employed, Chicago Foundation for Women's, who said, okay, you know, I got three calls last month from, someone who was involved. And it is this, you know, it's kind of this desire to, it's like when people complain about being too busy. You always want to say, okay, wrap that up.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Let's move on.
So let's talk now, because we're going to do this series, four series with the Off the Sidelines framework, right? So the mission of this series is to have the conversations that are engaging and interesting and pull women in. So let's just
asking the question of what's keeping you on the sidelines.
Yes. So we're talking, so the theme is power, but I want to ask you, Bridget, what, so you're now a rising, powerful woman in what is probably a very male-dominated world. And when we were talking about this, you told us a couple of tips and things that people have told you along the way of behaviors, really specific behaviors that either claim power or give away power that have changed. I used one of them in a meeting yesterday. So let's talk. Let's go back to those.
So, look, I have been very lucky to work for, you know, amazing men and women. But I will tell you, when I was a young woman, I just started at Anne. I was sitting in the room and they, you know, they laid out all the muffins and the coffee and all that. And I went over, as you do, to unwrap things and, you know, just get this one older woman said, stop. I'm going to tell you this. Don't touch the food ever. She's like, I don't care if you're starving. She said, because inevitably you're going to walk over there and you're tidying, you're making it nice for everybody. You're not entertaining at your house because you're going to be standing there and some guy's going to say, grab me a muffin, would you?
Oh, yeah.
And then what are you supposed to say? I refuse to put a muffin on this plate for you. No. But you know what? A, it would never occur to you to ask someone to serve you. And B, then you're serving them. So you know what? Yeah. Don't touch the food.
Really, it wouldn't occur to me to say that to a man if they were doing it.
Right. Would you get me a muffin?
Yeah.
No, I would never. And then what about cleaning up afterwards? I mean, if you're
exactly.
So that everybody gets up from the table. It's been a breakfast meeting or whatever. And there's dishes and cups.
Right.
What do you,
Right. You have to force yourself to walk away.
It's hard.
Well, you know.
Wait,
so
I don't help clean up?
No. And this is the thing. You know, look, is it your home? You know, I don't even like to do it there. But you're kind of stuck because no one else is coming in after you. But you have to say, what is making me powerful? And I will tell you that, you know, Katie Sabo is someone I work with, an aide-de-camp, you know, best advisor at the county. And we have this conversation that says, you know, you're about to take an action. Does this make you powerful? Does this make you more powerful? Because so much about power is the perception of power. And even though some of these things sound silly or they sound small, they're not, because everything leads to one another.
So Suzanne and I were talking about this last night. What do you do about, you go to lunch and someone, and it doesn't have to be a man, but about picking up the check? What is your thought about that?
Under what circumstances
do you let the other person pick up your check, especially if it's a man, I think, is the issue.
So, you know, I'm a big reacher for the check in the same way that, like, I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
Like, if I see someone, if there's a 50%, I'm more inclined to go in for the hug. And I'm way more inclined to reach for the check, because part of that is about means and you have the ability to do it. But I'm also really comfortable in other people picking up the check for me. You know, politics is kind of funny. Sometimes you can't let people pick up the check for you. So sometimes it's a good excuse to say, actually, I'm going to get this one and then we'll be fine.
But is the check picker upper, is that a power move or are you giving up your power?
Well, you know, it depends. Is the person on the other end just cheap and saying, I don't care how this looks, and I'm not getting my hand in my pocket? I think it is a power move, and because it represents, you know, look at the dynamic of who has usually picked up the check over time.
Yes.
And it also represents that you have the means to pay. But you're not waiting for someone to take action as we move forward.
I just want to say finally, or ask you finally, what, when you say the word power, you know, when you say, I'm sure many of our listeners are hearing, does this move make me more powerful or less powerful? And the bubble over their head is, do I want power? Why do I want power? It's such an aggressive word. Do I really want that? Is it something that I'm lusting for? Tell us why power is something important for all women to have.
I mean, my God, it's the thing that is most important when you think about your ability to not, you know, it's all about who gets to make the decision. Whose perspective is the one that's being heard? Whose law is being passed? Whose decision, whose company is being invested in? And if you don't have power, I mean, when you look at how women have accrued power traditionally, it's a lot of it has been through human services, through education, through hospitals, through the helping professions. You can become powerful, but it's power because, you know, you want to be able to help more people. And that's great. You know, the other option is, when you look at the way a business is run, and there's all the stats about women on boards and leading to just not just more ethical behavior, but better returns. But, you know, you have a really interesting perspective that if you think of the average role of most women who've worked their way into corporate life, especially over the last 20 years where you've seen things change, maybe not as much as you'd like, but you have a unique perspective as an observer as well as an actor, because you know, you were often in the minority and you're kind of observing this, even more so for women of color. I mean, much more exacerbated. So you have to be a much better observer of the power structure as it exists. So you, when you have the power, hopefully
you'll use it for good.
You'll use it for good, but you'll also use it with all of that perspective in there. It's not like you're not going to make the mistakes of the past. Maybe you will. And maybe you'll exhibit some of that behavior that people think, well, that's not really that nice. But You're going to have a more nuanced perspective going into power.
And whose world is it? That's really also the point. Whose world is it? So each week that we do an Off the Sidelines show for you, we're going to take a different angle of entry on power. And hopefully by the end of this, you will get off the sidelines. You'll join the movement. And we do feel it will change your behavior, not just at the macro level, but stop cleaning up the table.
Stop touching food unless you're eating it.
Don't offer men muffins. I think that was the big takeaway.
Is that a metaphor?
It might be a metaphor.
And on that note,
Bridget, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be back to the big payoff in just a minute with Rachel and Suzanne. Welcome back to The Big Payoff. We're talking today about what it means to be a powerful woman today. This is the first in our Off the Sidelines series with Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, who you just heard. And we're getting to this very important question for everybody, which is, how do you, in fact, gain power? And we are talking to women in part because you're not having this conversation quite enough.
Right. And I want to just come back for briefly to the question of what power is, the way we mean it. I mean, the way we talk about power, it's really about if you want to have agency in the world, if you want to have influence in the world, in your world as you define it. We're not saying power means you have to run for office, power means you have to get on a corporate board. But surely in your world, you want to have power if you want to fully be an adult.
Yeah.
They're connected.
They are connected. And here's a moment that I really remember for me. So I had spent the first part of my career working for powerful people, right? So I worked for Wendy Kopp at Teach for America, and then I worked for Jeff Jacobs, who was the president of Harpo Entertainment and Oprah's business partner. And on those boards were powerful people. So I was always the person serving at the, you know, at the
pleasure
of these powerful people. And I had it so ingrained in my head that that was my role, was to create agency for them. Okay. So I mean, 15 years. And finally, I get free of the last job that I had, and I'm given a sabbatical, a 3-month paid sabbatical. Now, I've never not worked in mine since I was 16. I had no idea what to do with those 3 months. So I got a call from a guy I had met at the Kellogg Foundation named Greg Taylor. And he said, you know, while you're kind of thinking through what you want to do, why don't you drive to Battle Creek, Michigan, and meet with me and my boss, Gail McClurg, and let's just talk about what's next for you. And Rachel, that 3-hour drive was the first time in 15 years that I had asked myself, what do I want to do? What is mine to do? What is the next thing that I do where I'm in the driver's seat and not serving at the pleasure of
powerful people.
So when you got there, you said, how can I help you?
And I got there, I grabbed muffins for everybody and started unwrapping the saran wrap and then paid for lunch. But honestly, that drive was the moment of awakening for me. As
you know, it's so funny because I didn't compare notes with you about what stories we could tell about our own experiences. I remember very clearly, again, the first 15 years of my career being the best daughter in the room, right? Powerful men.
Yeah.
And it was like, how can I make you shine? How can I behave really, really brilliantly in this moment?
So you'll be proud of me.
You've given me so that you'll be proud of me. Mm-hmm. And I was spinning off my own organization, and at the board meeting where I was making the case for my own organization, which is really interesting that both of us, our moment of power is that moment when we're making the case for ourselves.
And stepping out from behind the curtain.
Right. And saying, this is for me because I want to do this. It wasn't for you.
There was no
for you involved. It wasn't. Right. It was invest in this because... Right. And I'm now going to leave. And you know what they called? They gave me the money. They gave me the money. But you know what they called it?
What?
I didn't think about it until this moment. This is your dowry.
No, no.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
That's so awful.
Yep.
Wow.
Couple of million dollars. This is your dowry.
Oh, my God.
And I was grateful.
You were grateful.
Thank you.
So this is the thing that I want you to really take away. Everyone who's listening to this, I want you to take away is power can be claimed. It's not given to you.
Must be claimed.
Must be claimed. So it's an inside out thing. We walk around so often thinking that different people in our lives, or if we just sell that company or even become a mother, that some external thing is going to create power for you.
Or is blocking you from power. Like, you know, even Sheryl Sandberg had an op-ed some months ago saying, you know, notice how many times men interrupt women. As if the focus is on, see how they're keeping us from our power? No. You are, you know, that may be true, but the 90% of control you have over your life is inside you. So what are you doing to give away power every day?
Let me tell you the most powerful thing I've seen Bridget Gaynor do since I met her. So we are at dinner and we're with these other women who connected us, who are awesome, other powerful, interesting women. And we're there, the three of us, Cornelia, Kathy, me, we're at dinner. And Bridget's not there yet. She was texting Kathy, I'm running late, I'm at this event, which is fine. So we've all already eaten. So the table's been cleared. And we each have a glass of wine, but the table's been cleared. Bridget walks in and says something to the waitress. We're in this very intense conversation. I don't know what she's saying to the waitress, but clearly it's to place an order. And a few minutes later, back to the table comes a glass of red wine and a hamburger. And I thought to myself, wow.
Okay, wow. You are pretty powerless if a little burger can do that.
No,
for you.
I'm being completely serious.
I thought you were going to say
I just want to say why. Okay. Whatever she wanted in that moment had nothing to do with the other people at the table or the fact that the rest of us might have already eaten or that maybe it was too late. Like all the things that the mental gymnastics I would have done in my head.
Don't bother about me.
Don't bother about me.
I'll have some kale chips if you want them. But I thought you were going to say that the most powerful thing she did, you went to the restroom with her. And she peed standing up like a man.
Okay, you just said that about one of our commissioners.
Possibly our future mayor.
Possibly.
And I may go on record as saying I was the first one
okay,
who said
stop
our
it.
Mayor pees
like a
man.
I won't let you talk that way about Bridget Gaynor. Nobody puts Bridget in a bathroom stall. If you enjoyed this show, there's a lot you can do. So let's start by telling you where to go for Off the Sidelines. So go to otschicago.org. It'll be really clear where to subscribe, and it is truly as simple as that. It's not invitation only. You can step in and start being part of the Off the Sidelines Chicago movement right now. And if you want to listen to the show, you can go to our Facebook page, Big Payoff Radio. You can download us on iTunes. Just pull up, you know,
Big Suzanne.
Pull up Big Suzanne and Little Rachel. Just go to Big Payoff Radio with Rachel and Suzanne, and up will pop an adorable picture of us. really adorable picture. You'll see us, and you can subscribe to the show there. You can follow us on Twitter, Big Payoff Radio. But most importantly from this show, we really do want you to go to Off the Sidelines and join that conversation, otschicago.org. We will be back to the Big Payoff next week with Rachel and Suzanne.
If you enjoyed today's show and want to hear more from Rachel and Suzanne, you can follow them on Twitter at Big Payoff Radio. Like them on Facebook at The Big Payoff. Our theme music comes from Penthouse Suites. Hear more at penthouseswees.bandcamp.com. Download past episodes and subscribe to The Big Payoff at iTunes. And you can always find us online at bigpayoffradio.com.